understand fully, mortgage confidently. Go to rocketmortgage.com today.
Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit. Compare your card. Go to discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply.
A group of Middle Eastern nations are cutting relations with Qatar, saying that they are supporting Islamic extremism. Correspondent Chris Barnes with more.
Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt all severing diplomatic ties, accusing Qatar of supporting extremism. Bahrain giving its citizens in Qatar 2 weeks to return home. And several airlines in that region say they're suspending service to that country. I'm Chris Barnes.
Apple may be unveiling a smart speaker for its Siri digital assistant at its annual Worldwide Developers Conference. The gathering of coders and app creators starts today in San Jose, California. Apple has not used the conference to show off new hardware since 2013. The tech giant may also use the event to showcase new Mac laptops and iPads. Updates to the Apple smartwatch also possible, and they believe there could be a sneak peek at the new iPhone. And opening statements getting underway today in Bill Cosby's assault trial. The comedian arrived at the courthouse, accompanied by actress Kesha Knight Pulliam, who played Rudy on The Cosby Show. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root for VRA. In 2003, Kip Herridge founded VRA, his global investment newsletter. His VRA is unlike anything you've ever seen. He's outperformed Wall Street every year since 2003. Today, in honor of the national rollout of my radio show, Kip wants to give every listener his new book for free. It's called Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. To beat the markets and become wealthy in the age of Trump, get your free copy at VRAinsider.com. It's 100% free at VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com.
United Nations Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is agreeing with President Trump that all member nations need to be giving their full financial contribution. Here's more on the story.
Jens Stoltenberg issued a response to the president's request, saying it is in Europe's best interest to increase military spending.
It has helped to convey a very clear message about the need for increased defense spending across Canada and Europe.
Stoltenberg tells CBS's Face the Nation that more nations this year or next will be meeting the target of 2% of their budgets for military equipment and training. Trump, on his recent trip to Europe, told member nations they were slacking by not paying the minimum budget requirement.
A bizarre incident in California this weekend as a car that flipped in a traffic accident ended up thwarting a kidnapping. Here's Jason Campidonia.
Witnesses say a car tried to make a left turn but hit an SUV and then it flipped on its side before hitting a tree. A woman spotted near the crash told officers that she had been kidnapped and then she was rushed to a nearby hospital to be checked out. Officials say 19-year-old Anthony Brewer refused to leave the car until officers started to fire pepper balls and flashbang grenades about 6 hours later. I'm Jason Campidonia, NBC News Radio, San Diego.
Country music star Hank Williams Jr. coming back to Monday Night Football. Jr. will debut a new version of All My Rowdy Friends Are Here on Monday night before the first Monday night game between the Saints and Vikings on September 11th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. The weather today is a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 2 p.m., and cloudy with a high near 75. Calm, winds becoming about 5 to 7 miles an hour from the south in the afternoon. The chance of precipitation is 40%, And tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy with a low around 59. South winds 5 to 7 miles per hour becoming east after midnight. And the chance of precipitation is again 40%. Tuesday, chance of showers. Then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 9 a.m. And it's going to be cloudy with a high near 62. East winds around 6 miles an hour becoming calm in the morning. And a chance of precipitation is now up to 60%. Tuesday night, guess what? A chance of showers. Cloudy with a low around 51. Northeast winds 3 to 6 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is back to 40%. And Wednesday, a chance of showers. Gee, that's a new one. Cloudy with a high near 61. Northeast winds around 6 miles an hour. And Wednesday night is a chance of showers. Cloudy with a low around 52. Thursday, a chance of showers. Thursday night, a chance of showers. Friday, mostly sunny. Yeah, if it lasts that long. Anyway, this is the Medical Center's Hour. Compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today two wonderful guests. We have Maria Del Marco. Did I say that right?
That's correct.
All right. Who is an instructor coordinator, and we'll find out what that is in a minute. And we have Paul Hutchins, right? Okay,
yes.
And you're a program coordinator. So we're going to start with the women, okay?
That's fine.
What actually is an instructor coordinator?
Well, we are from the Center for CPR and Public Access Defibrillation, so we teach training courses on CPR, basic life support, first aid, and most recently we have a full-blown babysitting course. So as the instructor coordinator, I make sure that all of our instructors, both internal and external, teach the courses to the American Heart Association requirements and basically manage the quality assurance aspects of it.
Okay. I saw you Friday, Paul. And what is program coordinator?
So I basically manage the day-to-day operations of the department. I schedule CPR classes, first aid classes.
Like we had Friday? At the hospital?
That was actually a special event, which we do that from time to time as well. So I'm kind of a little bit of everything. I oversee AEDs throughout the county. I hold the special event.
Go back. What's an AED?
AED is an automated external defibrillator.
Okay.
It's used during cardiac arrest to shock the heart. When you're in a cardiac arrest, your heart is not beating in a normal rhythm. The AED is used to hopefully bring the heart back into that normal rhythm so that you can properly get blood flowing.
Like you see on the hospital shows that are on television?
Yeah, without the whole jumping
right,
off the bed.
Right, yeah, okay. But you do stay clear.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I ask this all the time because it's just my own phobia, I guess, if you want to call it that. But I'm interested in how people got into their line of work. I've had people tell me, oh, something happened when I was 12 and I always wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or Indian chief or whatever, and they went on to do that. And other people, like me, found themselves without a job, four kids, a mortgage, car payments, insurance to pay, and I didn't care what I got as long as I got a job that I could pay the bills. But I was there for 18 years after that. So I'm just curious, how did you, Maria, get into this type of work?
It's kind of interesting that you say that. I mean, I spent 20 years in the corporate world as well.
Okay.
And, you know, the downsizing, all of that, all impacted us at home as well. But at the same time, prior to that, I have three daughters.
Okay.
And I was the troop leader for my eldest daughter, Girl Scout troop.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I was asked, would you like to be an instructor for the Girl Scouts for CPR? And at that point, it was you know, all in from that point on. So I took the training courses, which I now offer, and that's how I got into this business.
That's awesome. I got three boys and a girl.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, don't take this wrong, Sherry. That's my daughter. But the boys were easier to handle. Paul, how did you get into this type of work?
I actually became an EMT about 5 years ago. Was involved in EMS for about 11 now, and it's always been something I've been interested in, helping people, teaching people, and it's just my passion.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's easy. So how does your roles, individually or whatever, how do they coincide with the Hunterdon Medical Center or Hunterdon Healthcare?
Through our department, we train majority of the hospital staff because it is a job requirement for nurses as well as the LPNs, the patient care techs, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
We then also offer the courses to the public. So it brings in a little bit of revenue on that side to kind of help out the non-revenue side of training the hospital employees.
Okay. And I assume you're, Maria, you fall into that same type of thing at the hospital?
We work together. Okay. So Paul and I pretty much run the CPR office kind of together. There are the instructors that have to be managed as well as the program itself. Mm-hmm. So between the two of us, we bounce off each other's roles and keep everything up to speed.
I have a problem with acronyms. You know, I'm on a mental health board, and a while back, the lady that runs it handed out a booklet about, you know, an inch and a half thick with all these acronyms in it, you know. I looked at her and I laughed. I says, what are you kidding me? Oh, I'm going to remember all these. So what does CPR actually stand for?
It stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation.
Okay.
Which basically means the compression of the heart during a cardiac event.
Okay. And when someone has a cardiac event, their heart doesn't react the same with everybody, does it? Or does it?
It can happen a few different ways and for a few different reasons. But basically, the heart beats in a normal rhythm. Everybody's heart beats the same exact way. When you're in a cardiac event, there's a few different rhythms that it could start beating in for multiple reasons, but the electrical current of the heart isn't pumping properly. So that's the most basic term of what cardiac arrest is.
Is that like AFib?
That's one of those types, yes.
Okay, because I have AFib.
Okay.
And, you know, and I don't feel it. They say, you know, some people feel it, or a lot of people feel it, and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm one of the ones that don't. And, yeah.
Probably a blessing.
I guess in a way, you know, but because mine goes bump, 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 bada, bump, 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 you know, that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So I am on, you know, medication for it and everything, but, you know, like I said, I don't feel it. And short story, I went into the hospital for a colonoscopy, and, you know, they hook all these machines up to you, you know, and everything. And the nurse says, you don't feel that? You feel that? I says, feel what? She says, you don't feel that? I don't know what you want me to feel, but I don't feel anything, you know? So she brings the head nurse in. She says, she goes through the same thing. You don't feel that? No. She brings the doctor in, and the doctor says, well, we'll go do the colonoscopy, and then we'll worry about this after. So they put me down in the ER after, and it just so happened that one of the cardiologists was in there seeing a patient, and he came in and, you know, he says, you have AFib. You know, I says, okay, whatever that is. But, you know, so far so good. You know, it's been fine. You know, but like I said, I don't. And I know a lot of people, I've since met a lot of people that had it or have it, and they feel it. And, you know, when it goes off, and I don't, you know, so it's like, I guess it's a blessing. I don't know, you know. But why is it important for someone to know CPR? I think I know the answer, but go ahead.
Okay. So nationally, nearly 383,000 people a year suffer from an out-of-hospital cardiac event, which is a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly 80% of those people have it in their homes. So it's your fathers, your children, your husband, your wife. And the more people that know how to react,
mm-hmm.
the better the chance of survival. So calling 911 alone is great, but without the action of CPR, your chances of survival drop about 7 to 10% every minute.
Wow. That's an awful lot.
Yes.
Because it would take, well, even if you lived in Flemington or Clinton, mm-hmm. you know, I live outside of Clinton. I live in Union Township, and we live up on top of a mountain, so it would take, you know,
takes a while.
It takes, you know, I would say 15, 20 minutes because they're not there all the time. They got to come in from their houses or whatever to to get there and bring the ambulance and all that jazz. So, yeah, that's, wow.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's just hands-only CPR, which we'll get into hands-only CPR, but that alone can save someone's life. It's as simple as just calling 911 and then pushing on the center of the chest hard and fast. Which it takes just a couple of minutes to learn that, and there's a few ways to learn that simple skill.
I think I asked you on Friday when I was talking to you and after we did the thing, do they still do the mouth-to-mouth thing? Like,
yes. So mouth-to-mouth is still an option. With the hands only, we don't show that.
Mm-hmm.
But in most of the courses we offer in the hospital, we do have the mouth-to-mouth.
Yeah, I think the nurses and all those who have to have this would probably need to know that, too,
yeah,
also.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, all of our certification courses do have the mouth-to-mouth component. But a lot of the public people who don't need a certification, they may feel kind of wary about putting your mouth on a stranger, which is why we do the hands-only aspect to show that just that one step can still save a life.
Right.
Mouth-to-mouth is great, but one step alone can help.
Now, Maria, you are an instructor, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You coordinate all the classes and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, right? But you actually instruct some of them, too?
I do. I'm also an instructor.
What ones do you instruct, then?
Well, if there's somebody that wants to be a CPR instructor,
okay.
I will do the instructor course and teach. I'm the trainer person.
Okay.
However, I'm also a CPR instructor for the public or for the hospital employees and then some.
Okay. When, how can I say this? When someone wants to learn CPR,
mm-hmm.
how do they go about approaching or finding out about it or whatever?
Well, they would go to Paul. He's the program coordinator.
But how do they get to Paul?
You know? On our website.
Yeah, so there's a few different ways. Right. We do have a website, hunterdenhealthcare.org/CPR. On that site, it lists all the different courses we offer, as well as has a calendar for the year of all the classes scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
They can email either Maria or myself through crinfo@hhsnj.org, which is Hunterdon Healthcare's email address.
Right.
And then they can call us at 908-788-6614.
We'll let you do that again later on also because, you know.
Right.
I was just curious, you know, like, you know, it's something I don't think the average person thinks about. You know, oh, I want to take CPR, you know, because in case somebody, you know, has a heart attack in front of me, I want to be able to do it. At least I don't think about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that the average person doesn't either, unless they're in a situation where it might happen.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of times we get people that it's on the back of their mind and they get busy and eventually they give us a call. Or we get people who are having a new baby, parents, grandparents, that
mm-hmm.
want to learn for that reason. So we do get a lot of mixed people that contact us.
There's also the schools are required now to teach CPR.
Oh, all right.
So many schools do it for certification. Some schools don't do it for certification. But there's Janet's Law based on a young lady who died several years back because of a cardiac emergency. And now the schools are required to teach CPR.
Now, you say schools. You're talking about grammar schools or?
I do believe it's just at the high school level.
It's actually the high schools require the students to be trained, but all schools have to have AEDs as well as staff trained.
Okay. That's interesting. So all the schools, grammar schools and all that, have to have that. Okay.
Every school in New Jersey, yes.
Okay. All right. What are some of the signs someone should look for and, you know, so that they know that they should use CPR?
So the most basic sign is just unresponsiveness. When you come across somebody who is laying there or not responding, you're going to tap and shout, see if you can wake them up, make sure they're not just a heavy sleeper. If you can't wake them up, you're going to call 911. You're then going to check for breathing and listen to the dispatcher's questions. So they may ask you certain things. If you don't see any breathing, they are going to need CPR, though.
What kind of questions would they ask?
Obviously, where's the emergency? How long have they been like this? If they are breathing, they're going to ask other questions, such as medical identification, are they bleeding, do you know what happened, that kind of stuff.
Okay. But then I would imagine if you saw somebody like that, all right, you know, you call 911, obviously, and you would automatically do it. I mean, shouldn't you?
You should.
Absolutely. I mean, it can't hurt, can it?
It can hurt, but it's better to do it than it is to not do it.
But, I mean, it can't – can it hurt their recuperation or recovery or
– No, I mean, there have been cases where people have cracked ribs because you are pushing two inches down on the breastbone. But, again, it's better to have a broken rib than the alternative, which is death.
Right, absolutely, you know. When someone wants to take a course, what's the procedure involved?
In terms of just registering for the course?
Yeah, registering or whatever.
It's what Paul said earlier, is to contact us either by phone, email, website, and we have a schedule that's planned out through the entire year. So they can just, you know, we'll ask them some questions. What type of CPR do you need? What type of first aid? Do you need first aid? Is it a babysitting course? What do you need? And then we will lead them to the appropriate course. And then we would register them then and there.
All right. You mentioned first aid course. What does that involve?
So the Heart Association has several courses. There is the Heart Saver CPR, Heart Saver First Aid. And then there are the basic life support courses for healthcare providers. So other types of CPR. So there are some roles that people have, like lifeguards or coaches, that they need a first aid course. They need to know how to handle a medical emergency. They need to know, you know, what happens if somebody gets stung by a bee and has an allergic reaction. So the first aid course is actually a certification course provided by the AHA, which we also teach at the CPR Center.
I would think if you're a lifeguard, you would have to learn how to do CPR, too. I
mean, absolutely. You know, well, they would do the CPR, and they might do either the Heart Saver CPR, which is a layperson's version of CPR, or they may do the healthcare provider CPR, which is the BLS courses.
Okay. Because, you know, I'm just thinking if you're, a lifeguard.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, 9 times out of 10, they never have to use it, but there is that one occasion or something, you know.
They're going to need it.
Yeah. I mean, in a pool, it's one thing, you know, because it's a lot smaller. But if you're down at the ocean, if you're a lifeguard at the beach or something, you know, that could be, you know.
Honestly, even in a pool, there is that chance.
Oh, sure.
There have been incidences in Hunterdon County in some of the health centers.
Right.
And there have been successful saves because of the lifeguards.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just interesting. I just find it very, you know, very informative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another acronym. What's AED?
Again, the AED is the automated external defibrillator. So a lot of places.
Is that that?
No, that's actually an anytime kit. So you can actually learn from the kit there that basic CPR in your own home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
An AED is a medical device, which is prescribed by a physician. We do have a physician through Hunterdon Medical Center that can prescribe the AEDs to businesses. But they're used in the public setting where shopping malls, airports, things of that nature that may have an emergency, and the device is used to shock the heart. So in a cardiac event, when your heart is not beating properly, CPR is great because it keeps the blood flowing, but the AED itself will actually hopefully get the heart back into the normal
beat. Okay. Do most places, I don't know, have an AED?
It's becoming more common. I wouldn't say most places do, but a lot of places do. So your malls, your airports, all of the schools in New Jersey are required to have it. Your shopping centers, the local grocery stores have
really?
It. Car dealers are actually getting them in. We're working with one of the dealers in Hunterdon County to put 13 AEDs in all of their dealerships.
I think I know what the dealership you mean. In fact, we just bought a car from one of them because my wife cracked up my car.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh, boy, is right. But anyway, I that's interesting. You would think, you know, that, I don't know, I just find it interesting that food stores and stuff like that would have it, you know. Because you don't think about it. Like I said, you know, the average person isn't thinking about
an AED.
Yeah, or something like this, that where they may have to need one, you know.
Well, now that you know that they're all out there, next time you go to the supermarket, you're gonna be able to, you'll be noticing all the signs, AED on site.
Yeah.
You'll notice them all.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, you know. And I think it's good, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, find it extraordinary, you know, because
come a long way.
Yeah, it has.
And they are very easy to use too. I mean, they're very user friendly. They walk you through the entire process. Once you turn it on, it tells you every step of where to place pads, how to do everything.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, you know, because hey, you know, you should know.
It's comforting, actually.
Yes, actually, you're right. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterdon Medical Center Show, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access the top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back to the Hunterdon Medical Center Show. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're privileged to have with us today Maria DeMarco, who is an instructor coordinator, and Paul Hutchins, who is the program coordinator. And we've been talking about CPR and a lot of other acronyms, AED. I think it's awesome that when we were talking about this AED, which, you know, I have you explain what it is again, just what the initials stand for. Mm-hmm. What do they stand for?
It's an automated external defibrillator.
Okay. And they have them in stores and malls, and I think that's awesome. You know, and the more places that have them, you know, not necessarily they get used, but even if they don't, they're there, you know, and that's the main thing, really. Now, when people or children take your courses, do they get a certification of any sort, or?
So we offer, in addition to the certification courses, we do what's called Family and Friends course. It's an American Heart Association course that teaches CPR to whoever wants to take it. It's non-certification. We do the certification courses, mm-hmm. and children can be certified as long as they are able to do the test that's required with the course, such as compressing a chest to the depth of 2 inches on an adult. They are certifiable. The other course that we have that we've just started to roll out is a new babysitting course. As part of that course, we also include CPR and first aid for those children. We began teaching it about a year ago. I guess it was last May. We used to have it here at the medical center, and then we stopped teaching it for a while. And we last year it was revamped in its entirety to start to get kids, see if we can get some more kids more qualified to take care of my children.
Okay. And what is, you know, what? How old are we talking about?
So the kids that take the course can be between 11 and 15. We've actually had a couple of 16-year-olds come in. And it's that's how old they should be. So what it is it's an opportunity to transition them from being a child, because on here we always say children 11 to 15. But when they're in the class, they're not children. They are the responsible adult in the room when me, as the parent, is not there. So the course is more geared towards, instead of teaching them a math formula or a science formula or telling them, this is how you do this, this is how you do that, it's more of engaging them in what exactly they're doing as a babysitter, what their responsibilities actually are. Are they mature enough to be able to take on those responsibilities? Mm. What ages do they think they can handle? As far as children. Mm. How many children can they handle at one time? Are they patient enough for it? As a matter of fact, when they first come into the class, as part of the icebreaker, maybe 20 minutes into the class, because they have some transition moments of figuring out, uh-oh, this is just not a teacher in school. This is somebody that's going to make me talk and make eye contact. So one of the icebreakers that I typically use is when we get to the concept of patience. Are they patient? Can they, if they're taking care of two small children, a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and one of them decides to throw a tantrum, what do they do? How do they handle that? Mm. How do they talk that child out of the tantrum? And in fact, I have the students, one becomes the child and one becomes the babysitter, and one child throws a tantrum. And the babysitter in training tries to work her way through that tantrum of the other child. It's actually very interesting to see how the kids move from one plane to the next as the course moves on.
So it's actually really teaching them how to babysit.
It's teaching them how to babysit. I mean, we do obviously talk about the ages and stages of babies and children.
Sure,
and
obviously.
You know, how do you pick up a child? How do you pick up a baby? How do you change a diaper? We go through all of that. But a lot of it is making sure they understand what babysitting really is. You know, they're not on their phones when they're babysitting. You know, that's a big deal. That's a big deal with kids. And then we talk a lot about the business of babysitting. You know, what is a resume? How do you talk to an adult and tell them who you are? How do you interview with an adult? So we write resumes, we build an interview process, we talk about marketing materials. We talk about all of the business of babysitting as well.
Hmm. And how long is the course?
The course is 6 hours.
Okay.
And the kids come in typically we've been doing them from about 8:30 till about 3.
Okay. And I assume there's a cost for this?
There is a cost. It's an $80 for the day, and they just bring a lunch, and we're off and running.
Okay. Do you take, like, insurance for stuff like this, or does insurance cover any of this? Or
we have not investigated the insurance part of this. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I'm just curious, you know.
I mean, but for groups and for you know, special groups or large groups, you know, obviously we offer a discounting schedule, Girl Scouts and community groups and anybody else
that needs
it.
Now, so your babysitting course covers, like, from A to Z.
Oh, absolutely, including first aid and CPR.
Okay.
So it includes all of that. So there's, you know, the kids are well prepared. By the time they leave, you could see the transition of maturity in the child. I mean, they become young adults by the end of the course. It's very interesting to watch that transition.
Yeah, it's.
So Paul is reminding me that one of the ways that the course rolls out is I mentioned earlier that I have three daughters, and all of them had been through babysitting courses as young children. They're all 17 and up to 23 at this point. The two older ones currently have very flourishing babysitting businesses. And one of the things I sat back and I talked to them about was what did you think about the babysitting courses you took as young children? And they absolutely hated the babysitting courses because they were delivered as, here's your binder. We are going to go through it page by page and teach you what to do for changing a diaper, for doing this, for doing that. And they said, and the thing that they all remember most is that the courses, the final thing that they were told was, and every time you go babysitting, you need to take this binder with you. And I'm like, you're not going to be able to, in a case of an emergency, you're not going to have the wherewithal to go flipping through this humongous binder.
Right.
I said, so when I was developing the course for a more realistic approach, one of the other things that I do is I'm also a teacher at a high school, and I teach math. And one of the things you do in math is you help them with flashcards. So rather than give them this big old binder, I have a small notebook that they use that they could flip through if they want, but for the majority of the day, we spend the day on page 3. Because most of the material we need to talk about is on page 3. And then I give them a set of flashcards on a key ring with the important emergencies and what to do in the event of that emergency so they can have it on their backpacks.
That's interesting. Have you heard from anybody who had to use this in their babysitting?
I hear from them all the time. Some of the people that are now coming through the course are referrals from those that have been through the course before. So it's starting to really build in its popularity, and they're really enjoying the course.
Well, you must be doing something right if you're getting referrals and stuff, right?
You know, you have. Yeah. By the way, at the end of each course, I also, since the course is only a year old, at the end of each course, I spend some time with the kids, say, what did you like, what didn't you like, what parts did you learn the most from? So they've been helping me in real time tweak the material that
right,
we cover.
Right, which is fine because, you know, sometimes, hey, you know, it's the object is to get the word out and, you
that's
know,
right.
to teach them. So
that's right.
If they can give you a, you know, a cognitive...
they give me good feedback.
Right.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
You know, so...
So we've been happy with the way the course has been going.
That's good. Can you talk a little bit about what someone can expect during the CPR certification?
So, again, there's a couple of different CPR certification courses. If they're coming in for the basic life support for healthcare providers, that's geared more towards EMTs, nurses, doctors, people with a medical background. It's a little bit of a more strenuous course. They learn to work in a team during a cardiac emergency. And throughout the course, there's a couple of tests that they have to take. They have to be able to pass all of the tests. There's two skills and one written in order to gain that certification. The other course is a Heart Saver course, which is aimed towards lay rescuers. So your coaches, your camp counselors, things like that. They have a course where it's aimed more towards an individual approach. It's a video-driven course with an instructor present. They practice while watching the video. And again, there are skills tests that they must complete in order to gain the certification. But it really builds confidence in their skills throughout the course. It's repetitive to an extent, but it builds that confidence so that in a real emergency, they're not going to have that panic of, oh my God, what do I do?
Right.
It's
more or less becomes second nature.
It does to an extent. The American Heart Association actually revamped their courses and the science behind CPR in 2015. So they actually created new courses from 2015 on.
Mm-hmm.
So even people that have been trained for years, when they come into a course now, there's a little bit of different information, and it's taught a little bit differently. So it's something that is always evolving.
Okay. Do police officers have to take any of this training?
Yes. So we actually do have two police officers that are instructors through Hunterdon Medical Center.
Okay.
And they train all the officers on their department.
Oh, wow. That's good to know, you know, because they get called. Usually they're there first anyway.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
In most cases, you know, not all cases, but most cases they are.
And most cars actually have an AED with them as well.
Okay.
So that's, police being the first one there, they have the equipment to do it properly.
Right. If someone wants to just take, you know, basic CPR, okay, what is the cost for that?
The non-certification course is $25. And again, a lot of new parents, grandparents, people that just want to know because they've got a family member with a cardiac issue, they'll take that course. It's a very laid-back course. It's a couple hours long. It is still video-driven. They practice, but there's no test. There's no pressure to make sure that they have to have it right.
It's like the one you did on... Similar to the one you did on Friday, only longer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what would be in that one as opposed to the shortened version that you did on Friday?
That covers compressions as well as breaths, how to use the AED, and it covers all three sets of skills, the adult, the child, and the infant. So
okay.
What we did on Friday is we just did a brief hands-only what to do for a child or an
right.
adult, but it goes a little more in depth.
Okay. Is there any other courses that you have that you want to mention?
The Heart Saver courses, the CPR is a $60 course. Again, that's aimed more towards people who do need the certification.
Right.
We do have the first aid, the basic life support. We have a lot of nursing students right now are coming in for that. because they need it for school in August.
Yeah, right.
So that's become pretty popular and busy right at this time of year. And then the babysitting course, that's another great course that we've had 100 kids come through already in 1 year.
That's awesome.
Getting very popular.
When you stop think about it, that's awesome.
It's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and think about the parents who are getting a competent babysitter.
Right, exactly. You know, with four kids, we didn't have many babysitters. So, you know.
Our next course is on June 28th. So,
okay.
Anybody want to register, give us a call.
Where is it held at?
At the Center for CPR.
Okay.
At 215 Route 31 South, here in Flemington.
Okay. So, but it is connected with the hospital, but it's at a separate location.
Correct, yeah. Right. We are part of
hospital. Right, you are part of the hospital care, but it's just at a different location.
We're all site.
Right, okay. We have a few more minutes. Is there anything that you'd like to mention or talk about in the next few minutes? If not, I will ask questions.
So. Do you have anything else?
I don't at the moment.
Okay.
But I'm sure with a question it's going to start all sorts of stuff.
Well, I find it awesome that you guys do this. And I'm not just saying that, all right, because having been in the military during a war period and seeing injuries, some horrendous. I say it's not funny, but it's to me it's totally ironic. I can react to a situation when it's there.
Correct.
Afterwards, I get sick. Yeah, you know? It's not like, you know what I'm saying. It's like, okay, you got to hold somebody's stomach in place. Okay, I can do that, you know. But afterwards, it's like, oh, my God, really? You know, and I just find it very rewarding for people like yourselves who can do this and, you know, and teach people to react and, you know, spontaneously rather than, let's see, which page is that on? You know, because that's...
Exactly.
Forget it. That's not happening, you know. And that, you know, you look for the page, the person may not be around anymore, you know. So, I think it's great. I just wonder, do you feel you have everything covered, or is there other things you're looking to start up?
I mean, through our department, we are planning on doing a little bit more community outreach. We've been in the process of creating a program that we want to tailor towards churches.
Okay.
To kind of get more people just trained.
Sure,
The more knowledge, the better. The more people out there, the better. And one other thing to just touch on is with the laws in New Jersey, the Good Samaritan Law actually covers anyone who does perform CPR. So even if you're not trained and you're just listening to a dispatcher or all you've done is watch the video for 5 minutes, in a real emergency, if you're trying to help someone, you're not going to be held liable
right.
for anything that's done, as long as you're in the best
right.
interest of
right.
that person.
What do you feel you have to do to alter to get involved in various churches or synagogues or whatever?
We're trying to tailor it a little bit more to their time constraints. We want to make something kind of short but still to the point, a little bit longer than what we did Friday.
2 minutes longer?
But something that will still be very informative and very helpful. Bring out some mannequins and kind of just show them.
Right.
I mean, if you think about how many people are together during a church service.
Sure.
And to have those people familiar with the concept of CPR in the event that one of those hundreds of people in that room collapses. And it's not very difficult. And part of what we're trying to do is this, as part of this church community outreach, is, you know, between masses or between services, send your congregation to the gym or the all-purpose room, where we'll show them what you actually saw the other day. We'll show them hands-only CPR. We'll show them how easy it is to be able to jump in and help somebody, that it's not a complicated process. So you know, we're trying to build that program to be able to get that word out easily.
What do you look like as a time frame for getting it done?
We're hoping within the next couple of months.
Yeah, over the summer.
Okay.
Yeah, before fall.
Okay. You know, I think that it would be great to do that personally. I think, you know, I really do. I think that, you know, because regardless of whether it's a synagogue or a church or whatever denomination, it doesn't matter. You've got a group of people. And, you know, I know like the church I go to, there's a couple cops that go, you know, so they're pretty well trained. And, you know, there's one or two nurses at the medical center.
That's right.
You know, so they're trained. But the rest of them, you know, may not be, you know. And
right. And there's a statistic that, and I want to make sure, I'm going to try to say it right because sometimes I get tongue-tied with this one. The people who receive bystander CPR, that meaning have CPR started prior to emergency services arriving, have a 90% better chance of survival than those who waited for emergency services.
Right.
That's huge.
Sure.
You know, if we can get that word out and get people just to do hands-only CPR when, if needed, go for it.
Right.
Whether it's
right.
a kid or an adult.
Sure. Absolutely. I agree. You want to give your website again in the last minute or so that we have, and the phone number?
Sure. So the web address is huntingtonhealthcare.org/CPR, and all the rest of the information can be found on our website.
Okay.
We can be emailed at cprinfo@hhsnj.org, or you can give us a call at 908-788-6614.
908-788-6614?
Yep.
Okay. Maria, Paul, the time flew by, and I really appreciate you coming. I really, you know, and I think that, you know, working with the relations to get out, more word out, I think is awesome. And I think, you know, going to the churches and synagogues, that would, you know, would be a great thing if you could get it done, you know.
Thank you for having us.
I appreciate you coming. And remember, folks, take care of yourself. And if you need anything, you can go to the medical center at Hunterdon County. Take care. We'll see you again next week.
Every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. for Tune In to Hunterdon here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, where Chamber President Chris Phelan and Richard G. will bring you all the latest news of what's happening here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and, more importantly, what's happening here in Hunterdon County. That's every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
This president will take historic steps to keep his promise to rebuild America.
Vice President Mike Pence making the announcement that President Trump is going to privatize air traffic control. The vice president says not only does this keep a campaign promise, but will help the economy.
The action the president announces today will encourage investment, commerce, and most importantly, President Trump's action today will enhance the safety and precision of our air travel in the United States.
A new Gallup poll showing consumer spending is stable in May, with Americans spending about $104 a day. This marks the fourth month in a row that Americans have spent over $100 on average every day, the first four-month streak since the poll began in 2008. The report says spending has remained on the higher end because Americans are more positive than negative about the current financial situation and unemployment is low. USA Radio News.
Greta is a drill instructor.
On your feet and negotiate this obstacle.
Yes, ma'am.
When it comes to training lean, mean, fighting machines, she doesn't mess around.
I do not have all day, people.
But in her free time, Greta's an amazing poet, and she knows it.
The green grass, it whispers to me like an ancient firefly.
Look at her throw those verses with confidence. But when it comes to getting a mortgage, Greta's less confident.
A little help here?
Fortunately for Greta, there's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. It's simple, so she can understand the details and know she's getting the right mortgage.
My confidence, it's returned like a jealous lover on a rainy night.
Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Go to rocketmortgage.com today.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is in Australia meeting with his counterpart. He took a shot at China today during a joint press conference.
Tillerson met with Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop Monday in Sydney, where the two discussed security threats. He told reporters that the U.S. wants productive relationships, but that China needs to do its part. Tillerson criticized the militarization and buildup of Chinese man-made islands in disputed waters. He called for China to keep putting pressure on its ally North Korea as Pyongyang continues to build up its missile and nuclear weapons programs.
It's not yet known if a man will be facing criminal charges for shooting a neighbor to death. Police in Ada, Oklahoma say the man was trying to stop a neighbor from drowning his three-month-old daughter and son in a bathtub. A 12-year-old girl in the house reportedly ran to the neighbor for help as the man was holding off the mother while he tried to drown the babies. Police say the actions of the neighbor saved the baby's life. And country music star Hank Williams Jr. coming back to Monday Night Football after being gone for the last few years. All My Rowdy Friends Are Here on Monday Night, debut September 11th. USA Radio News.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to